Hello and welcome to Resync, an Assassin's Creed podcast. I'm your host, Landon, joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Lucas. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. It's late. I'm tired, but doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's currently 3:15 in the morning for us because, as fucking usual, we, you know, don't have time to really do this in any meaningful way. And so we just create the time. We just pull it out of our ass cracks. And so here we are at the ass crack of dawn doing this. Because yeah. Why not?
Yeah, we have, 4th of July, you know, kind of throw some wrench in our plans. But we're doing it for you guys.
You're welcome. Happy 4th of July, unless you're not American, in which case, fuck you. But also, if you're American, fuck us because, you know. Anyway.
You know I'll be.
We played Sequence 2 of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood this week, and my God, was it a big one. How you feeling, Lucas?
I'm feeling almost whole again, you know? Like, I feel like last sequence, we just, like, a big part of us was missing. A lot of shit happened, and we lost everything, but, like, here, we finally felt whole again.
I mean, I would say there's still a major part of us that remains not, like, missing.
Okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I understand the metaphor you're trying to bring there unsuccessfully.
I'm trying to say that, like, I feel like we're back.
Right. No, this sequence in general for me made me feel so... really just a mix of nostalgic and just excited for what's to come.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, honestly, similar to how I felt playing Assassin's Creed 2, because we talked about it last season on Resync, about once you started getting into the meat and potatoes of the game, and you start, it helps you because, you remember certain aspects of the game. Because obviously, we remember fond memories of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood in the past, but a lot of it's, obviously faded because over the years we haven't played in forever.
And I'm starting to realize how much that I actually don't remember. I'm missing a lot of, there's a lot of gaps in my knowledge that I didn't realize I had.
Right. But then, having that realization, like seeing the Borgia Towers again for the first time
decade. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
Right. And just all the different things. And as you start to remember more things, it's not that I'm necessarily thinking of very specific parts of the game, just thinking about different mechanics that I had completely forgotten about that I'm like, oh, my God, I cannot wait to use this again. Or like, man, this is going to be so good. I can't wait for this moment. I can't wait for this. Like, it just does such a good job of, like, it just setting the scene for an amazing game. And also, God damn it, this game came out a year after Assassin's Creed 2, and look how much new shit is in it.
Yeah, it's basically, like they overhauled this game to insanity.
Like, it almost makes me think that they withheld features from 2 when they decided to make Brotherhood. Like,
they
were
almost,
these originally...
I don't know. I mean, the graphics, though, like, were such a step up, too. Like, I'm still trying to figure out, what are they missing from, like, what did they take from 2, even?
Well, I'm wondering, so I doubt the combat animations were dulled down. There's no reason to do that. But think about things like the Borgia Towers. Like, were those going to be in 2?
Yeah.
And then they were
the renovating the shops, that whole, like, aspect. Like, making money that way, too, besides just, like, Montrejourne.
Maybe. Yeah, like, different concepts like that. Trying to think of other things that I was thinking of. I'm losing my train of thought. But, I'm fucking tired. But, I don't know. I just thought that it was cool. That there's, to the point where the amount of new things that were put into this game that allegedly, not allegedly, did come out a year after the second.
Yeah, just 1 year.
Just, man, like, devs were good in the day.
How long do you think they were working on it? Like, do you think it was like 2 years they were working on it after like the first one released, like after they got that one finished and ready to go, like they probably had like 2 years, maybe 2.5.
I mean, Ubisoft is a studio, you know, they were well established by 2010. So, you know, they are more realistically, I guess, like 2008, maybe when they started work on this game. Because I'm sure they had, you know, for Assassin's Creed.
No.
Literally just it. But anyway, you know, they.
God damn, bro. You're like Desmond. Like, you're seeing ghosts and shit right now.
It's you. But I mean, I'm assuming after Assassin's Creed 1 came out, they had, you know, little things for Assassin's Creed 2, started working on it, I assume, shortly after. And then probably about 2008 would be, and this is all speculation, when, you know, Ubisoft would come knocking on the door of Montreal that was working on these games and was like, hey, you know, Assassin's Creed selling really well. What you guys got cooking for the next one? You know, like, we need to get this out there. And they're like, okay, we have this really, really big idea. We have all this stuff. You know, we've got this, you know, solid game experience going here. And then we just want to keep going with it, like do all this other stuff. And they're like, well, we're trying to push this out next year. Like, we need get this at, like, no. And so I imagine the idea for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood came from Ubisoft as like a publisher wanting to get 2 out in a timely fashion. And so then, like I said, that's what makes me wonder if certain parts of Brotherhood in terms of new gameplay mechanics, like the followers of Romulus, like, were they just going to be more Assassin's Tombs? That then they just were like, ooh, actually, just say that they're followers of Romulus now. That's kind of the opposite, you know? Like, instead of a new feature, it's more just like repurposed feature that was probably just more Assassin's Tombs for the Hall of Ancients for the Armor of Altair.
Yeah.
Because they're literally the exact same.
Oh, yeah. They look like the same exact, like, build style and everything.
Right. And I am really complaining because I really like those missions, but, you know. Like,
those are fun.
And the Brutus armor is sick as fuck.
I don't have the Brutus armor. I'm actually rocking the Altair armor again because I think it looks really good. The gold with the black, like, you can't go wrong there.
Oh, absolutely. But nobody has the Brutus armor at this point because it's what you get after you complete all of the followers of Romulus tombs.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your special armor.
The Draken armor?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that armor is sick. The only thing that kind of irks me about it is, like, I don't get to see the progression of Ezio anymore. You know, because, you know, like, he gets that armor. I mean, not to get too far ahead, but, you know, he wakes up next to that armor and, you know, puts it on. But then, like, when he puts it on, it immediately, like, switches back to the Draken armor. And it looks really weird. And then, you know, he buys Spalders, which, again, we talked in about Assassin's Creed 2 about how you see the progression of Ezio. I don't see that anymore because I have the outfit on. I'm like, don't know if I like this. I've been debating switching it back.
I'm thinking, like, once I have access to, like, more dyes and stuff, I'll probably end up taking it off just because I remember I did, like, some of the, like, dyes a lot more in this game.
But, God, I love this game so much. It's got aura, it's got sauce, it's got exposition. It's just so good. And also, shout out to Cesare for having the wackest pronounced name ever. I knew I was saying it wrong the last couple weeks, and that's why I tried to avoid saying his name as much as possible. But spell your name like Caesar, you're going to get called Caesar, you fuck. I don't know what to tell you. Cesare, my ass. But anyway, you got any other general comments about Sequence 2 and just the game so far before we get into the bones of it all?
Not really. Like, this sequence, I feel like, does a pretty good job of, like, setting up how I feel about this game.
Yeah.
It's kind of the beginning of, like, what my favorite aspect of this game is. It's, like, kind of, like, this is, like, almost like the birthing of that idea.
No, that's fair. And it does a really good job of both showing a continuation of a lot of narrative and gameplay elements from the last game, and then being like, okay, there's all of that stuff that you really loved from the last game, and then here's some really enticing new stuff.
Yeah.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, just you wait.
So, it's, yeah, I'm super excited. Like, this sequence got me really excited to play the game, even though it was long as shit. I mean, we didn't actually really talk. How long did it take you to get through this, roughly?
It took me, like, probably was, like, an hour and 45.
I mean, to be fair, I did a lot of fucking around this sequence, but it took me 2.5 hours to get through this sequence, which I immediately texted Lucas.
It might have been about two, but it was, like, 145, two. I don't have an exact time. I don't remember when I started, but, like...
Yeah, but just roughly. Yeah, it was a long sequence. There was a lot of stuff here.
A lot of stuff. And, like, they introduced so much. Like, it wasn't just, like... Here's the story. It was like here's a bunch of stuff that's going to kind of happen.
Right. And there's even a fair bit of side stuff that you can already do. You know, yeah, it introduces you to the sync points. It introduces you to the Borgia Towers, to the followers of Romulus. Although that kind
clusters.
Of, you know, directly leads into, yeah, you got clusters. The truth is back. And you've got, you know, flags. You got feathers. They said all the shit from the last games. We're going to put that in there. And then we're going to add even more because God damn it. And also we made this in a year. Bullshit.
Yeah. No way.
You know, like, like I said, like, people talk to, they tried to give God of War Ragnarok shit for reusing animations from God of War. And it's like, oh, well, you know, it's a sequel. Like, why wouldn't you? Like, obviously, you know, try to save time. Shit, they didn't even reuse anime. I mean, I'm sure they reused some animations. Like, I'm sure the parkour mechanics.
Most of them, though, are, like, brand new.
Yeah, like, the combat mechanics are new. They added on to those. And they only had a year.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm sure some of that crossed over before, too. So I imagine it was probably, like, a 2-year development cycle.
Like, the fists boxing in this game? Elite.
Like the hand-to-hand combat?
Yeah, the hand-to-hand.
I haven't messed around with it yet.
Like, even the counters are sick. Like, you break arms and shit. Like, it's cool.
Yeah, there's so much here. And I think, like, we talked last week about, you know, it feeling like Tears of the Kingdom to Breath of the Wild. Like, I think this is another credit to it with, like, you know, obviously it owes a lot of its success to Assassin's Creed 2. And I would still overall put 2 at the top of my list of Assassin's Creed games. But Brotherhood is just right fucking below it, man, because of all the cool things it added in just such a short time, which you can debate whether you want to put that into the discussion on a game's quality, because, you know, it shouldn't matter whether a game took a year or 10 years. You know, end result should be what matters.
I almost wonder if, like, they basically had, like, the bones of the game made. Because, like, 2 was originally supposed to be, like, or Brotherhood was supposed to be part of 2.
Right.
Like, I wonder if they basically had the bones of the game done, which would basically just be, like, having a lot of, like, the early model, like, the early, like, buildings and stuff like that. And just, like, kind of basic story structure. And then they had basically just a bunch of time to refine everything. Like, just to be, like, we're just dotting I's, crossing our T's, like, making sure that this game is, like, perfect because they have the time to. Like, they already are, like, way ahead of their deadline.
I mean, it's
because,
definitely...
Like, yeah, because their deadline was probably, like, a year before, and they're like, okay, we're extending, like, a year, and they're already into it. They probably just had a lot of time to just refine the game.
You had me, and then you lost me. Because if they would have been done then... It would have been part of 2, but obviously it wasn't ready yet. Oh, well, okay.
That's what I'm
hold
saying.
On.
I think
it might not have necessarily been that it wasn't ready, more so that, I mean, I'm sure there were little things that needed polish, but maybe more so for the fact that they were worried about the game being too big.
I could see that too. That's
so maybe
yeah,
it wasn't
that,
even
I mean,
that it wasn't done.
If it is
it
the
was
size
just,
of the first game. That's like a 25-hour like.
It's about like 20 hours.
20 yeah. hours, yeah. That's a long
this
game,
is another
especially
15.
Back in the day. Like,
I guess it'll be something to pay attention to going forward about like the narrative pacing of Brotherhood, Because, like, so far, I have no real concerns with
pacing.
No, and
it's, like, it's been kind of, like, if anything, it's slow. Like, if like I thought, like, it would be faster because it's slower, like, because it's, like, it's less game, but it's pretty slow. Like, it's introducing you to a lot of, like, to things pretty slowly, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'll be something to pay attention to. Maybe, you know, this might already be answered and we just don't know, but at least, you know, it's something interesting to discuss or, you know, debate about, theorize over.
Yeah.
But anyway, the proper sequence. Let's get into it, which it starts off with a pretty significantly long, like, I could be wrong here, but I think the longest modern day sequence to date that we've had.
Absolutely, it was, yeah.
Yeah, like there's a lot that happened.
A bunch of stuff, yeah.
Which, again, I mean, okay, so shout out to our Patreon subscribers. Go on over to patreon.com/resyncpodcast and you can check out this month's bonus plus episode where we talked about the modern day storyline, and we had a bunch of discussions about, I'm losing my train of thought here once again because I'm so fucking exhausted. But fucking check out the bonus plus episode. It's available to paid subscribers. And I was talking about the modern day storyline and about how it overarches, right? And how, you know, I think the modern day storyline should build and become more, you know, like have more depth there. Whereas the past storylines, the historical settings, I don't necessarily want or need a super large scope. I think they can take, you know, obviously like have like narrow stories. Cause even, you know, in terms of the plot, when in the first game, the reason they're experiencing Altair's memories is for a very specific reason. It is a de facto narrow scope because they're looking for the apple. And so because of that, it's not like, oh, we're really interested in the life of Altair. No, they only care about this one thing. And it makes, you know, it keeps that scope narrow. And I think that that's a benefit for that. Whereas the modern day, you know, the scope kind of branches out and gets bigger. And, you know, in terms of a franchise, that's how you can grow and develop your franchise. So, you know, we're getting further in. We're getting more depth and complexity. And then as a result, added time and gameplay to the modern day element. Almost to the point where, I mean, you know, we've talked about whether or not, like, the merits and then what would make a good, like, full modern-day game based on Assassin's Creed. But they really kind of just made one already and split it.
Yeah,
For five different games.
Well, I think one of my favorite sequences in the modern day was the, like, finale of 2. I love, like, breaking out. Not 2. Is it 1? Is that where you fight the guards?
So that was the starting sequence of 1, and then at the very end, you have to leave because they find us.
Okay.
In both the beginning and end, you're fighting guards. You're a little basic at the beginning of the game, and at the end, you have all of Ezio's abilities.
Oh, of 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, of 2.
Basically, I liked fighting the guards. At the end of 2, that's always been my favorite, like, sequence. It's just what I remember the most. But
like so far, or just in general for Desmond?
Honestly, just in general.
Damn, because for me, it is easily the Abstergo segments in Assassin's Creed 3. I don't even have to think about it. I don't want to get too deep into it because, we'll get there eventually.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Like, when it's all like... Yeah, I don't want to say a whole lot to spoil, but like...
2 seconds, 2 seconds.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, we were talking about the same thing, but he was thinking of Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, I was just dumb. I was like, I feel like I didn't think it happened, but... Yeah, sorry, you have to cut out, like, 30 seconds of silence.
I mean, I could technically include it. You guys will find out in the final, but I think it'd be fun. Oh, we like to have a good time here. But anyway, outside the Animus, Desmond,
back to the sequence.
Lucy, Rebecca, and Sean arrive at the Auditore Villa, the assassin's last maintained stronghold in Italy. Which kind of confused me because there's no one fucking there. There's no equipment. What do you mean it's the last maintained sanctuary? It doesn't look maintained at all.
And you literally have to break into it.
Yeah.
Like, how is it maintained if you have to break, if it, like, when was it, like, they, like, hold on. Like, because the beginning of this sequence starts off with you following that ghost, right? When you get there.
Not technically. Like remember how, the end of last week when it, all that stuff started? The cutscene?
Oh, and yeah, that's right. Forever. That's right. I forgot that that happened after. Yeah. Okay.
So, but I mean, yeah, it's just like a long cutscene of them arriving at the
getting
villa.
Getting there, and then they like unload the van, basically.
Right. But. Yeah, it's fucking, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would say, like, they could have easily said abandoned stronghold in Italy.
That would have made a lot more sense, but even then, like, because the beginning of the sequence, like, they have to, like, break into it, and it's kind of clear that it hasn't been, like, into since Ezio escaped it.
Except it was, because he finds the older
Ezio.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Bozo. But. Yeah, I mean, it's very clearly abandoned, and there doesn't seem to be any modern assassin technology, equipment, you know, presence, anything, but it's a maintained stronghold? Huh? It can make sense. I don't know, but that was weird to me, but I'll let it slide. Anyway, Rebecca claims the Peace of Eden was hidden in 1507, but a memory within a memory blocks her from accessing it. They agree to set up shop there while looking for temples that Minerva mentioned. So, unable to figure out a way into the sanctuary, Desmond notices a remnant of an ancestor, which was Ezio. Because at the time when I was taking the notes, I wasn't 100% sure it was Ezio. I was like, I'll just see a hooded person running.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, this notices a remnant of Ezio taking a secret underground entrance. And so, you know, he sees him doing a whole leap of faith, and Desmond's like, fuck it. And does, is this,
I mean, this is the first time, yeah, I literally have that in my notes. It's the first, like, leap of faith that you see Desmond do.
Okay. I couldn't remember if we'd seen one prior. You know, he did the platforming in the.
Yeah, but there's no, like, nothing to jump into in there.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking too. I couldn't remember for sure, which is
they even kind of
I,
make like a deal about it. Like, is Lucy's like, oh, that was really, was she awesome or cool or something? Right. I don't know. But she was like, basically like, yeah, that was badass. And he was just like, just felt, that's what I do, man. Just right. Jump off things.
Do it all day. Don't. You sit at a computer. So, you know what? Us gamers are warriors too.
Yeah.
We do the same thing that Desmond does.
Exactly.
You don't know if I have the bleeding effect or not. I'm an assassin too, bitches. Fuck with me. But. So, Desmond does the leap of faith, and him and Lucy look for a way to let Sean and Rebecca inside from above, because it essentially, you know, leads to an underground entrance. And
yeah,
so.
To the largest underground cavern that should never exist for a tunnel to go outside.
That's
it was,
you know,
so intricate, right. For no reason. Like, it could have been a straight line, and that bitch was like, it was way too grand.
I wish they had mentioned something about, like, the historical context behind it, because I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be the Auditore family crypt, because, you know, again, that was a side mission.
They
kind of
made it sound like it was like a septic.
Oh, like a fucking, yeah, Italian septic system.
Yeah, because like he said, because he had to swim through all the sewage and stuff. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but yeah,
right. Yeah, fuck if I know, man. You know what? This plot doesn't make any goddamn sense. Bad game. But yeah, there's some weird stuff in here if you really try to dig into it. But yeah. Suspend your disbelief there for a little bit, and you know.
Yeah. So he's following Ezio's ghost.
That is also true. But sorry, I was drinking some Red Bull there,
getting that energy back up.
I'm sure fucking trying. But Desmond sees Ezio leading the villagers out after the Borgia attack from sequence one.
Which is kind of, I kind of really liked this sequence though. I had this like part of it. Like it was cool seeing like it was like the escape in reverse, but like you still got to fill in with the escape. Like you got to see him go out and run out.
Right. Cause obviously a lot of that was like cut, you know.
Yeah. Like they cut right after he runs through there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh. Yeah. It was interesting to see, you know, a little more added context for sequence one. As well as, you know, moving the plot forward for the modern day.
Yeah.
Like I said, we talked a great deal about in this month's Bonus Plus, brought to you by Patreon. Check it out.
Yeah, do it.
It's really cool. But worrying that he'll end up like Subject 16, Lucy dismisses him because he starts, you know, getting upset and he's just like, you know, hey, I'm seeing shit. Like, this is really weird. And Lucy's yeah. like, shut the fuck up and focus on what we're doing right now.
Yeah, it's like, remember, you're Desmond. You're not Ezio. Chill.
Honestly, kind of pissed me off because, bro, if you were seeing fucking ghosts, would you not also be freaking out and being like, yeah. hey, are we sure that this animus shit is like, good in the long term, because you know all of the subjects have either died or went crazy.
Yeah,
it's a valid concern.
I feel like it's a valid concern. I feel like he should, and like I feel like ignoring the ghosts, I feel like might make it worse. Like let's say you got like schizo, you know, like.
But would you rather interact with the ghosts?
Yeah, totally.
And that doesn't make you schizo?
No.
All right, whatever you say, boss. But as they make their way through the catacombs, whatever the fuck you want to call it, Desmond yeah, continues to
see... I called
it
a maze because it was ridiculous the amount of, like, climbing and, like, weird paths there were.
And boards still available and after boards, 500 yeah, years.
Which they even comment about.
Right. Makes sense if it was, like, marble or some shit, but yeah, or, like, even just fucking stone.
Yeah,
but all that wood.
Some good wood. Some assassin's wood.
Like just great. Because you made a funny haha comment about it doesn't make it any less realistic.
I know. Like, how are we going to fix this plot hole? I know. We'll make a joke.
We'll just make a joke about it. You know what? Fuck it. Why not? But Desmond's continuing to see these fragments until he comes across an older Ezio fragment in the Hall of Ancients, which... Again, I didn't write a whole lot of notes about the actual, like, him and Lucy going through. I don't know if they
kind
of
flirt a little bit. He swims through some poo, and, like, it was it was kind of cute, but that was basically it. They, like, hold each other while he goes up a thing. It was, you know, it was adorable, but that's basically all it was.
He starts shooting shit, then he starts swimming through shit, you know?
Yeah,
it's a
yeah,
whole shit
yeah,
shit
the
cycle.
Whole shit shit.
Shit show, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But anyway... Gets to the Hall of Ancients that after the attack, you know, he's seeing Ezio, this older version of him, and he's kind of like freaked out. He's like,
oh, he came back.
You know, yeah, he came back because they had assumed that, you know, it's overrun and, you know, no reason to come back. But ding, 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 foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Brissy. But yeah, he's seeing shit the whole time, kind of flipping out. But, you know, like, once again, Lily, or fuck. Lucy doesn't give a fuck. But they open the secret bookcase for Sean and Rebecca, get them down, and they when they open it, they notice this like Triforce-ass multi-triangular symbol that was, they assume, left by Ezio.
Yeah, and it had like numbers on it that are assumed to be dates.
Yes. So using Eagle Vision, which... Again, another thing, we're now 2 and some change games in, and they still haven't given any, like, narrative reason for Eagle Vision, because it would make sense for Eagle Vision to be in the Animus, because some weird glitch code, but Eagle Vision in real life doesn't, like, what's the narrative explanation for
that? How I've always imagined it, at least, is, like, it's like a type of hyper focus, like that almost like because monks can like kind of put themselves in the state of like hyper awareness and stuff like that. So I always like in my head, I imagined it like he just puts himself into like a state of like hyper like absorption of just like his senses so that he can just like take in everything. And like it's like it's just a heightened state of observation.
fuck it good enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, it obviously has to be like a trained technique that like you would learn, and that's why I think it's like a bleeding effect, because like it's like it's something that you'd have to learn over time, how to like kind of get yourself into that like mental state to observe.
You know what? Fair enough. Because it does seem to be something that only Desmond and his ancestors can do.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, a small subset of people, because, you know, it, a lot of times Desmond will use it when the other assassins can't. And they're, they don't see things and only Desmond is seeing them. So, you know, it may have. So it's like a skill that's, like you said, like passed down through the bleeding effect. And it is... I don't know if it's been outright said that he got it from the bleeding effect, but it's been kind of heavily implied.
Yeah, especially at the first game, like with the like glyphs and stuff, like because you weren't able to activate Eagle Vision until like the last part of that game.
Yes.
And that's, and they kind of mentioned bleeding, like I think the sequence before that. So like,
right.
It's kind of like, you know, implied.
So yeah, he does use the Eagle Vision to see three hidden numbers, 1419, 1420, and 1421.
Yes.
I actually wrote three completely different numbers because I didn't write it right in that moment. And I was like, what were the numbers again? Oh, yeah. I'm like 1490, 1491, 1492. Random. Thinking about the year that Columbus sailed the ocean blue or something like that. But yeah, completely different numbers, but we got the right ones. And so they set up the Animus in the sanctuary. While Desmond attempts to route power and Sean hides the van.
They got no power, which is another thing. Like, maintained motherfucking assassin's hideout has no power. They got to plug in these. Okay, first of all, what the fuck are these weird devices?
You ain't never had a fucking an electric Wi-Fi adapter?
Yeah, literally in my head, I was like trying to figure out. I was like, what in the how does this work? Like, what in the science are they doing? And I guess, like, maybe some Tesla shit has happened in there, but I don't know.
They're tracking them through the cell signal. Cell signal here, but we're going to use some sort of beaming technology to just beam the fucking electricity down there, even though apparently cell phones can't do that down here, but electricity can.
It just seemed absurdly sci-fi for something that probably did not have to be that absurdly sci-fi. Like, they could have just, like, tapped into some, like, main... or something, you know what I mean? Like,
right? Like you're telling me there wasn't an extension cord?
Yeah, like I felt like there was a way better solution than to just go like super sci-fi with it. Like that was like, I was like, man, that's some like high tech shit right there.
Well, you know, this was 2012, and they made it in 2010, so maybe they just had faith that we'd come up with some shit by then. Who knows? You know, whatever. Yeah, it is 2012. I was trying to remember if it actually... Because I know 3 is set in 2012. How far ahead the original games were set. But anyway. So, yeah, you get sent on a little fetch quest to put these weird wireless electricity adapters on the breaker boxes.
Yeah, breaker boxes, yeah.
So, you walk around this Montrigione, which is... just eerily the same, but not. I think it's funny how it's like the exact same, except they added like light poles and then the boxes.
I was laughing because like they still had like a lot of those like the run up to like the building type things, like with the, you know, they had like the boxes with like the tarps and stuff. They had like trash cans and stuff for it. And I was like, man, these are some sturdy fucking trash cans for him to just be like running up and jumping off the buildings with them.
Well, you know, that's some 2012 trash cans for you. They're real durable. Not like these days. But yeah, there was some lazy coding there. I'm not going to lie to you. There's some stuff that did not need to be there and some things that definitely, you know, should have been there.
Yeah, I did like a lot of the modern elements they added, though, to Montarigione. Like the... I feel like they added, like, some kind of walking... paths and like some fences over on like the west side of the villa.
Oh yeah,
I felt like
I didn't do any like thorough exploring.
Well, it was by one of the fuse boxes, and I kind of just like explored a little bit around that area.
Well, was there a set 4 boxes, or was it just
I kind of wondered that same thing, because I felt like it was just find 4. I think there were a lot more.
Yeah, same. I think you just had to connect the four of them to route enough power through the magical wireless device.
Yeah, that just transmits power. I don't know. I mean,
redirects it.
Wireless power is a thing. Like, Tesla did it, but, like, not with that, like, not that high capacity. That's
you
crazy.
Don't know that.
That's crazy. That's a crazy capacity to be sending through wirelessly.
Hey, you know, Matrix, other sci-fi movies predicted shit because they knew what was going on the inside. Maybe Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft know it too. Maybe we can transmit power at that capacity. But big power doesn't want you to.
I mean, that's actually probably true.
No.
Like I said, Tesla already did it on a tiny scale. Like, it should have been way better by now.
Same. What can I say? I'm a smart guy. Come to my lecture next Thursday. And so, you know, they get all that shit done. They get back to the underground. And then did you remember to have your conversations with people?
Yeah, but I didn't think about the fact that I could have multiple conversations until I hopped back in the Animus.
Oh, you sweet, naive boy. Honestly, there wasn't a whole lot, but there was one interesting tidbit, which leads to my trivia question this week, which reminds me, we never talked about trivia for last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's go over that now.
Yeah, 36 minutes in.
Don't patronize me, damn it. What the fuck was the trivia question last week? Oh, yes. What month is this taking place in? The main events. Elements. And it's actually the exact same month that sequence 2 is in. Because I asked you, you know, it's in 1500 when the events of this game start taking place. Technically 1499. But then it rolls into 1500. What month? I mean, honestly, you can use context clues there to guess it's January because it was just 1499. I mean, yeah. Technically you could, if you didn't know how far away, like Rome from Firenze, or I guess technically Monteregione, you know, you might not necessarily be able to guess very accurately, but I believe they said they only rode for a few days. So it's, which means, did he raid the Vatican on Christmas? That's cold.
I mean, they were having like a big ceremony. Was that, were they having like a Christmas party that he just crashed?
I don't know, shit, it'd be like Christ is born. Bitch slap. Just saying, I'm thinking about the real things here. I'm getting into the deep. No one else thought about that. Big
like,
Christmas
like
wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah, I like the idea that it's on Christmas.
Hey, I'm going to write a fucking essay about it. Come to my other lecture on Friday. Hear more about the theology of Christmas beatdown. Anyway, this week's trivia question coming up. So congratulations to those that got January right. You are a smart cookie. So when they get back, Desmond's asking, I went with Lucy first, you know, no particular order. But Desmond asks Lucy about next steps, where she tells him about the assassins attempting to pinpoint the Templar satellite launch facility, trying to figure out where it's at. That's essentially what the majority of the assassins are doing. And then she also says that they're combating the Templar's search for the apples, trying to run interference, giving them more time to find these temples and the apple that they're currently searching for. So, you know, a bunch of the assassins are essentially kind of, you know, I mean, the trying to find the satellite launch is definitely helping, but like, I'm sure they know the more important quest is the one that obviously the four of them are on, trying to find the apple as well as temples that might help them deduce how to stop or where at least the global catastrophe is plotted. So, you know, essentially being like, they're on side quest right now.
Yeah.
They're playing support, which I mean, fair, but you're telling me they couldn't send another assassin like over? Like, why does it have to be four people? Like, I do know their numbers are limited. I'll give them that. They spent a lot of Assassin's Creed 2 talking about how, you know, their ranks were super low. Right? So, I mean, whatever. But tell me, you couldn't introduce one new character?
Yeah, and I feel like pieces of Eden are a pretty important thing. Like, you're telling me, like, you couldn't have a few extra.
you can make the argument that a smaller team is able to be a little more discreet.
More covert, yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, what's one more person? Five people?
Yeah, I mean, they need a brute. They need some guy who can just kick ass. It's not that Desmond can't kick ass. I mean, he right. can't, but like, I
feel they need like a tank. They need a Bartolomeo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's who they need.
Yeah.
Modern day Bart.
Modern day Barty. You know, oh well. So, next, Desmond asks Sean about serious numbers, seeing if he has any idea what those numbers mean. Wall, which Sean eventually admits he needs to figure out more research because he starts spitting out some random history facts for 1490 and was it 1419 and 1420, I believe?
Yeah, basically the 1400s. He was just, like, naming events, and he was trying to think of anything relevant. And one of the dates, I think it was 1921 or something, he was just like, I have no idea what happened in that year. I'll research some more history and see if I can come back to you on that.
Right. So, he's just kind of being like, I'm not necessarily sure yet. And then Desmond's basically like, hey, what do you think of Monte Regione? And another fucking rude, dumbass comment
he's
from this
a
group.
Bitch.
Because like, so did you have that conversation?
No, I didn't. But okay, like, he's just a bitch. So
no, but I mean, well, I was already pissed off at Lucy for dismissing him, and then he's like, "Yeah, what do you think of this really cool historical place?" He's like, "Well, it hasn't been touched, so that means it's dead, and I don't care." He's like, because Desmond, he was like, I don't particularly give a shit, essentially. And Desmond was like, well, why not? It's a part of history. He's like, no, history's living. It changes. This has been abandoned. It hasn't been touched. It's dead. It doesn't matter. Like, the fuck do you mean? This is an ancient assassin sanctuary. It's cool as shit.
Yeah, and I feel
any nerd would be obsessed with it.
Like, you want to see, like, this, like, the hidden, like that's history. Like, the stuff we had don't know, like, that's history. Like what?
Yeah,
brother.
Whoever the fuck wrote these modern day sequences, like some of the dialogue shit, needs to be fired. I hope they're no longer at the company. Maybe they're why the maybe the good people got fired, and this is all we got left because they've been pissing me off today. But whatever.
I mean, Sean's always kind of a bitch, though. Like,
yeah, but at least he was a logical bitch.
Yeah, that was his thing. He was a smartass, and he was a bitch. That was a dumb thing to say. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Fucking, you're just being a fucking dick to be a dick at this point. Whatever. So, moving on to Rebecca. Rebecca tells Desmond that she's upgraded the Animus to be better than ever, also revealing that she used to be an athlete.
Yeah.
Before she got injured and switched to coding. And this is where my trivia question comes into play this week, friends. So this one isn't even necessarily said. It's just implied because she says she used to be an athlete and that she realized that she could have just as much fun coding or whatever. I don't remember the exact quote. I'm paraphrasing here. She could have just as much fun coding then and starts describing the sport that she played. The sport is not ever directly mentioned. But my question for this week is, what sport did she play?
Yeah, what'd she do?
This is a bit of a big brain one, but there's only really one sport where you're doing this action.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So my
basically, there's two answers that I'll give you.
There are two answers? We'll talk about it after, but I think you're wrong. And also, wasn't this in the second conversation? How do you even know about this?
That's when I kind of realized, so I ADD'd, and I thought I clicked on the Animus, and I didn't realize that a second interaction happened. Between, like, I just thought, like, it picked that. I don't know what I thought happened, but I went through both of hers, and that's kind of when I thought about it. When I got in, I was like, did I listen to two of her audios? I didn't even think about two audios. That was like through my thought process. Like, so I heard hers, I didn't hear anybody else's.
No, honestly, that tracks. I've been there, I get that. That tracks, but yeah, once that goes, you know, leave the, you know, answer down in the comments below if you're over on YouTube and then over on Patreon. I also, just recently discovered that Spotify has comments now. Shout out to the one dude that commented on one of our episodes. I think it was like episode 2.
I didn't even
know
Spotify had comments.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a new thing because I don't think that existed. It's only been around for like a few weeks, I think. But yeah, so you can technically comment on Spotify now.
Yeah,
but, you know, you can also comment over on Patreon. And yeah, just give us some engagement. It'd be cool. I think that'd be awesome.
We like engagement.
And us. Engage with us. And I'm trying to put a ring on your finger, girl. Damn. But anyway, you get back into the Animus finally with Rebecca explaining that there's new virtual training missions that will test your skills. So now they added a challenge mode because Batman Arkham Asylum took off and they said, oh. So we've got challenge modes now.
Yeah. And I haven't really messed with any of them, but they seem cool.
I did one, and that was part of the reason why it took me 2.5 hours, because it was the very first free run one where it was like half challenge, half tutorial. It was teaching you what it called advanced free run mechanics. So there was like the wall eject, there was a side eject, there was kind of like the fall off where you take your hand, you take your thumb off of A or the jump button and you just run off the ledge. So then you can keep your momentum going and don't dangle or jump or anything like that. Like different mechanics like that, that really get into the nitty gritty. But sometimes it was you need to be so precise with it that I had to restart and it would just fail you and make you restart if you messed it up.
Damn.
And so it was a 45-second gold medal, which I did get on my first try of actually completing it. It was just I had to, like, I failed it and had to restart a billion fucking times. But once I actually hit the finish line, I automatically got the gold. And I was like, fuck yeah, fuck you, I'm done. And I never touched it again, mostly because the sequence was just really long. If the sequence was a lot shorter, I probably would have jumped into some more. But I was like, at this point, because I did it like a couple missions into the sequence is when I finally tinkered around with it. And I was like, man, if it's going to take me this long every time, I'm not fucking doing it. I'll do it another week. But I do intend on getting gold on all missions because mama ain't raised no bitch. Anyway, good stuff. So they're also talking about just, again, like different upgrades that Rebecca's put into it. And, he brings up these repressed memories, can't be accessed. And in order to access them, you need to get complete synchronization on as many different missions as you can. It's all about, I believe, your total synchronization. So I'm not 100% sure on how this is tracked.
I don't remember either. I don't, because it's not like you have to, because you don't have to 100% every sequence, I don't think.
No. Although, I don't remember if I necessarily accessed all the repressed memories or even what they're about. So it could be I beat the game and never, you know, accessed all the memories. Because, again, it's just been so long. So I don't remember for sure. But, you know, I believe the final memory is a repressed memory you have to unlock. But obviously, you don't need to be at 100% sync for the whole thing. So I don't know if it has to do with a certain number of missions that you've 100%ed, or B, just there are like essentially milestones of total synchronization of the game, like across, you know, whether you 100%ed the missions, how many collectibles you have, how many viewpoints, you know, like what have you, like just little things like that. And it's just like, oh, you're at 7% total synchronization. This repressed memory is unlocked. And then you get another one at like 13 and like so on and so forth. I don't know. I don't remember for sure, but those are a new thing.
You
know? Yeah. It still follows, obviously, like chronological same excuse they make for the first two games where they're talking about, oh, you know, we can't access this memory, so we need to go back and we need to play through, blah, blah, blah. But now there's like repressed memories, which I think is interesting.
I kind of like that concept because like they're kind of expanding on the whole like memory aspect of the game, you know, like just kind of like oh, we're advancing our technology. Now you can access memories that like they kind of locked down.
Right. I agree. Yeah, it's a fun time. And so, you know, you can access that as well as Sean marking locations on the map of coordinates left by Subject 16 for Desmond to check out.
Yes.
Which is another thing that I think is just it was another like it was more of the concept from Assassin's Creed 2, where they're just like, because the puzzles are laid out almost exactly the same. Like, they're slightly different.
A glyph that, I mean, you kind of have to jump into these, but or at least this one that I did.
right? Like parts of the puzzles are literally the exact same format. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they add some new stuff. Like it is slightly different, but it feels like it was just going to be the exact same as the truth in Assassin's Creed 2. Like those were all just going to be like puzzles in that routine. And then when they split the games in two, they're like, okay, let's change a couple things here and there, differentiate it, send it out, which I'm okay with. I like the puzzles. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not giving them any flack for it, but just kind of trying to peek behind the curtain there. It kind of feels like something that happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're officially back in the Animus, 50 minutes in, and we haven't even begun the sequence proper yet, but
holy cow. All right.
So,
be a fun Roma. Episode.
January of 1500 still. So this is fairly like, it seems to be pretty much directly after the end of sequence one. Remember, Ezio was shot. He's passing out off his horse. He wakes up in a stranger's home.
Yeah.
With assassin's clothes.
Little girl's taking care of her.
Yeah, exactly. Another woman is taking
always
care
a woman.
Of her. Always a woman. And says that some stranger dropped him off and, you know, left this for him and told him to go meet Machiavelli at the Mausoleo dell'Augusto. And so Ezio's like, oh, I'm supposed to meet, or the Machiavelli saved me? He's like, no, it was somebody else told you to meet him. Go on, get. And so he dons these new assassin robes.
Which look a lot like his old ones.
Yeah, exactly. But he's still got the old outfits if you have the coats. Different attire that I get. He's just got that like pocket suitcase in his trousers. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about it. It's from the Peace of Eden, okay? It gave him increased storage space.
Yes.
But, you know, dons the robes once more, and you got to go find a doctor to heal your wounds from the villa before climbing to the church tower to locate the mausoleum.
Yeah, where you do like your first sig point of the game.
Right? And it's also the first time, this is the first mission where there are 100% sync requirements.
Oh,
which
yeah,
that's
right.
I mean, we've brought up before, but that's the thing now. In sequence one, there weren't any conditional requirements. But now each mission has a bonus objective that if you complete, you will achieve 100% synchronization. It is sort of this is what Ezio did in this situation. So there's still plenty of freedom in the missions. I mean, depending, some are obviously longer and more complex than others.
Yeah.
But like, it kind of guides you as like, bonus thing of like, oh well, Ezio, like the real Ezio did this will help you achieve, you know, perfect synchronization and be Ezio,
you recall more memory.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's a bit of a challenge sometimes because some of them are stupid easy,
yeah,
and others are annoying as hell. So, you know, it really just depends. But a lot of the ones this sequence are pretty manageable. I of course achieved 100% synchronization.
The only one I didn't get was I didn't throw the guy into the scaffolding.
Yeah, I got rid of everybody else, and then I was like, come here. Come here, boy. Then I just grabbed him, chucked him in there, and got my sick synchronization. Because, you know, Ezio loves nothing more than to throw people. You love nothing more than to throw people. It's all you did in the first game. What the hell's wrong with you?
So, basically, I didn't know what the objective was because I don't think I paid attention. And then I saw it after and I was like, oh, I failed it.
That tracks. But, yeah. One of the objective, I don't necessarily remember the 100% sync for every single one of them. No. Maybe I will be able to. I don't know. Not going to necessarily try to. But I know this one was to not lose any health. And so I was super worried about making any sort of jump on the way over to the doctor. So I just like walked all the way around the house, go down the stairs and walk over to the doctor because I was just worried I was going to accidentally lose health.
I didn't know how you would lose health. Like, I was like, because you couldn't do any, like, you could like limp.
It might have been a gimme since it was the very first.
Maybe,
episode.
Yeah. But I literally, because like my guy couldn't, I couldn't jump. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't attack. Like, my guy was holding his like chest and like barely walking.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You couldn't have even done it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you learn something new every day. So, yeah. I'm assuming then, yeah, what is a gimme? I guess you could technically wander into some soldiers and be like, fuck you.
And like, just like bump into them a bunch and like until they got mad at you and like.
Fuck if I know, man. I just work here.
I feel like you should get an achievement for not 100% sinking the first mission.
Yeah, it's something like Rome's Biggest Loser or something. And it doesn't even like, it'd be one of those hidden achievements where it's like, it doesn't even explain how to do it. It just says, really? You like, how did you even do this? But anyway, so yeah, you go to this doctor, he gets you healed up, and he's like, hey, you're kind of an old guy.
You're old.
You gotta chill out a little bit.
It's gonna take a little bit to heal.
Yeah, but you gotta, you know, this is kind of gnarly here. And Ezio immediately is like, all right, I'm gonna go. Here we go.
Yep. And then he's like, man, you fucking called me old. What a bitch.
What a bitch. And so fucking climbs up this church tower. You do your first sync point of the game.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, not too much different from the last games, but Rome. Still good. Cool. I mean, you gotta love the sync points. They're a staple. I'll always be cool with them. I always loved, you know, just getting the view of the vistas as we are now in Rome proper. We've visited a couple's time. Well, was it a couple or only one? I think it was only the one time, right?
Yeah, it was only one.
Yeah. So we visited once at the very end of the second game, but now we're here proper. We're in the city.
We can explore.
We're ready to, you know, exact revenge for Uncle Mario.
Yeah. Fucking bitches. Can't believe they killed Mario.
Well, it's not Mario anymore. I'll see myself out.
God.
But performing a leap of faith from the tower, he overhears some Borgia guards plotting to attack some. Because, you know, they're Borgia.
Yeah,
they're just literally attacking.
I was like, yeah, I was just attack this peasant for no reason. That's like literally what it sounded like.
Literally. It was like, hey, you know, fuck Kevin. Man, fuck Kevin.
Fuck Kevin.
Well, he should beat up
fucking
Kevin.
Him up.
Yeah, I'm down. All right, fuck it. Yeah, let's go fucking kick the shit out of
Kevin. I love Ezio because he's just like, okay, Machiavelli can wait. I'm gonna go beat up some people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even though, you know, he lost almost everything.
Everything.
Again.
For the second time.
Like, we don't necessarily know exactly how long earlier, but maybe even like early, like the day before, bro's literally like, side quest, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, bro's got some control, I'll give him that. He's a fucking hero.
Yeah, he's literally just like, justice any day of the week.
So, you know, you have to tail the guards, and, you know, you're tailing them to the man, and you get to save him. You get to, you know, kill some guards, because, like, fuck you guys, and you save
this man.
Oh,
that's where you could take damage.
That's a new mission, though.
No, it's not, is it?
Is it not?
I think it's still good as new.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Because then, well executed is the next mission.
Gotcha. Well,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where you can take damage.
I don't know. Whatever. I thought it automatically started a new mission when you finished talking to the doctor.
No,
when you're in the haystack.
No, it's not, because I went to check, and what it did on mine, I clicked on it because I was going to write a new bullet point.
Right.
My thing, I checked when I like was like, okay, I'm telling the guards now, what's the mission? It just like had like a like almost like an abridged like, this is the second part of this mission type of like thing on the like pause screen.
Okay, so I'm just whatever. I'm just fucking. I mean, that's
you are true. Sleepy,
but you know, saves this man's life, and he's just a mess. You know, he's like, they killed my wife. She did nothing wrong. And he's freaking out. And, you know, and he's like, you don't understand, you fucking piece of shit. And he's like, actually, I exactly understand. I literally went through the same thing.
Like, if anything, I understand more. I lost like 4 members who I was really close to when I was like 17.
Literally. Like, I lost my father and my 2 brothers. You only lost your wife, so why don't you pipe down, bucko?
Yeah, it's like, trust me, you'll be all right. If anything, you'll be a badass for it. Like,
And so, yeah, bro's just, you know, he's upset and he's like, you know, I wanted to cut her down, but Il Carnefice says that he's going to kill me if I even try. I just don't know what to do.
And then Ezio's like, hold my beer.
Literally, he's like, all right, chill out. I'm going to take care of him. Ready, cut her down.
Yeah, and then no problem.
And then, so, yeah, you just
trot your way up. I climbed up the mountainside there.
Yeah. You know, go up the hillside. He's just standing out in the middle of nowhere.
I literally just climbed
up
the building and just blah.
Yep. Says, you know, the 100% objective is to kill him with the hidden blade. So I just got on top of the roof, saw him, and just.
Like, that's an easy one. I was going to do that anyways.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I always prioritize the hidden blade because it's cool.
It's just, yeah, you're an assassin. That's what you do. If you can stealth and assassinate, that's, yeah.
Well.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's what I'm going to do, too. What we going to do? That's what we assassins do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you fuck his day up. And then I killed everybody else.
Yep.
Because, well, did you go after the other guards?
The ones on
the ones around him?
Yeah, they started attacking me.
Right. Yeah. But then, like, I killed, like, I think maybe one, maybe two, and then they all surrendered.
For real?
Yeah, they literally just put their hands up, like, five of them.
For me, only three surrendered.
Yeah, no, I literally had, like, five of them just surrender to me. I killed every one of them.
Oh, yeah, well.
I did not let them.
Actually, no, the guys on the ground who were, like, put their hands up on their knees, I literally, like, I unequipped my sword and went up to him to, like, punch him. And it was great because he did finishers on them because they, I guess they were, like, I don't know, just, like, this form. So, like, one of them, I literally just, like, grabbed him by the head and just, like, smacked him in the ears and, like, kneed him in the head down. I was like, yeah, that was worth it.
Oh, yeah, no mercy.
I just punched all of them. I punched all those guys because I was like, I'm not even going to put my sword out for you. I'm just going to fucking murder you with my fist.
Absolutely. They deserve it. Fuck the Borgia scum.
Yeah, I wasn't going to let any of those guys go. You kidding
me? What
if
they get promoted and they become the next Il Carnefice?
Yeah. The nemesis system. Come on.
Exactly. I've played Middle Earth. I know how this shit works. But, you know, let them die. So Ezio, you know, he goes up, gets him killed. And then afterwards, Ezio meets Machiavelli in the proper spot where he was looking for earlier. And Machiavelli has no idea that Ezio is even alive. He's like, I heard the news.
Like,
I thought
you were dead. Weird seeing you here, man.
He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And it's just like, you didn't call for
me?
He's
like,
I didn't
told
know
me.
Shit. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. And so, you know, he accompanies Ezio through Rome, and he's like, we need to keep you a secret. But let me show you how fucked shit is right now. And so, you know, he takes him to the blacksmith. He's like, here, get some balders, get a stiletto, you know, get you a little something. But, you know, you can die very quickly out here. It's not great. And
basically,
like,
you need to be prepared, brother, because you're gonna die if you're not.
Exactly. He's like, the guy who killed your uncle Mario, by the way, is his name is Cesare Borgia. This is the first time we hear this guy's name.
Yeah.
In the game, and he also kind of recaps a little bit of what was in Assassin's Creed Ascendance, the short film. He's like, he even killed his brother to get to power.
Yeah,
which obviously Ascendance expands on and goes into detail about, like, what happened there. But, you know, he's like, the Borgia family are a family of ruthless killers and murderers and just horrible people. But no one is more horrible than Cesare.
Yeah,
he's
the worst Borgia.
Man. Yeah. And so, you know, establishing the threat. But apparently he's been going on a tirade, going through and just creating an empire, really.
Yeah.
And what better city to base in? Rome.
Rome. Yeah.
But Ezio's going to put a stop to it because
he
killed my uncle.
Yeah.
Prepare to die.
Exactly. Feel the wrath of assassins in our brotherhood.
Exactly. They're making their way through, and, you know, Ezio's like, hey, wouldn't it be faster if we used horses? And Machiavelli's like, well, actually, the Borgia have control of all the stables in the city, so we can't, you know, nobody can use horses. He said, bitch, please. Give me 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's a hold my beer again. Ezio's just taking care of things this episode. He's just getting shit done. He's not playing around.
Yeah, he's an experienced assassin. You know, he's maybe getting older, but he's like, I ain't no spring chicken. I'm over here. I'm about to spring on your chicken. You know what I'm saying? Just cha, cha, cha.
Yeah, I'm just march my way up into this camp, and I'm just going to murder all these people.
Yeah. Ezio liberates the stables by killing the Borgia captain, which, if you got 100% sync, is by throwing him into the rafters.
Yes.
I did.
I didn't.
And then you ignite their tower in flame. Because, you know, you kill the captain, and then Machiavelli's like, I don't know if that's really enough. You know, they could come back. Like, what's going on here? And you're like, all right, I'll send a fucking signal that anybody can set the whole tower.
No, yeah, and just, it literally like starts like blowing up.
Yeah, and he does like the cool like
walk away from
an explosion,
throwing the torch down.
Yeah, yeah, just like the sideways camera angle.
Like, but look how badass I am.
Hell yeah! And I remember seeing that because that pops up every time you.
Yeah, every time you do it. Yeah,
iconic moment. Yeah, he's like, all right, done.
Yeah, literally 5 minutes later comes back. He's like, all right, we're good now. Yep. And he's like, I guess we are. And then you go and buy the stables.
For zero florins.
For zero florins. I wondered how that worked. Is it just because you just literally just killed everybody and you're just like, it's mine now?
But then you do that for all the towers. I guess Machiavelli pays for it.
Is that how it works?
That's probably the most canon-like response.
Yeah, because I thought Machiavelli was, like, I thought he said, like, he gave you money for it, or, like, he was, like, he's like, I'll take care of it, or something like that. Like, I thought that was kind of mentioned, like, right before you go over there to buy it.
Hey, Happeth. In fact, you might be right. I don't know. I'm tired. 21 in the morning.
God damn.
But, where are we at now? And so afterwards, Ezio accompanies Machiavelli to the Campidoglio, where Machiavelli argues that Ezio made a mistake not killing Rodrigo because he has not dropped this. And Ezio believes they have to root out evil at its source rather than treat its symptoms, saying that killing Rodrigo would not have actually done anything. And he wants to rally the people. Machiavelli's like, all right, good luck with that. And to illustrate his point, a thief comes up and just takes Ezio's money.
Steals his money, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, those are the people that, you know, a recruit of yours.
I love how nonchalant Ezio is that whole time. Like, he gets his things taken, and then Machiavelli is just like, all right, go get your stuff. And then Ezio's like, taking his time. He's like, getting off the horse all slow. He's like, yeah, I guess I'm gonna get my shit. Like, he almost like was like just annoyed. Like, it's like he knew he was gonna get it. He was just kind of annoyed he had to do it.
Yep.
I just love that worried. Attitude. Yeah, I just love that attitude.
Right. Just off the horse. Which yeah. I did the same thing with the Borgia. Like, his I tackle him again in like 12 seconds.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm on his ass.
Yeah.
And so tackle him, and then he's like, go before I regret sparing you. I didn't spare him. I just fucking killed him immediately after that. I tackled him to the ground, and then I was like, and then he had another 500 florins on him. So I'm fucking grateful I did that shit, because I wanted that money. I'm up to like 7 grand already, dude.
You killed that thief?
Yeah, I kill everybody. That's not going to get me desynced, obviously. I don't kill civilians, but if you commit a crime, you're fucking dead, bro.
I feel like your opinions might change throughout this this game. Only because
you know what? I didn't think about that, but but guess what? If you commit a crime against me, you're dead.
Yes.
Other people, fine. Me, dead. And so, I ain't worried about all that other shit. But, you know, monkey see, monkey do, not my problem. But anyway, you know, he goes out, you know, he takes back his money. And the two rendezvous at trying to get to Machiavelli's contact to retrieve this letter that he's carrying. However, the contact's actually caught by the Borgia, which forces Ezio and Machiavelli to save him and catch the courier himself.
And the courier runs like a third grader.
Oh, yeah. He's a little bitch.
Literally, like, it was like catch him in under a minute was 100%. And he went around that corner, and I instantly grabbed him.
Yep. It was literally just... And he died, too. Because I let no one live.
I think I let him live. I don't think I kill people I tackle.
If I tackle him, I'll literally, like, sometimes I'll try and kill him immediately. Other times I'll let him get up, give him, you know, a little faint hope, and then just...
Usually the thieves, I'll just, like, punch them until they're, like, knocked down. And then, because then there's, like, laying, and they're, like, all on the ground. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Because I love doing that to the guards, too. But then I'd always go around with the guards. I always, like, kick them until they're dead.
Fair.
Because fuck those guys.
I don't mess around. I got shit to do.
Murdering shit. Hell yeah.
Murdering. And so, yeah, you get this letter, and you, because you're chasing after him, even though we caught him, like, what, 10 feet away?
Yeah.
You now have to regroup with Machiavelli. And so you go to deliver this letter near the Term de Triano, but you're ambushed by these wolfskin clad warriors that are howling and doing all this shit.
Yeah, but before that, all you heard was wolves. So, like, you didn't really know what was going on. You just heard, like, howling. And you're just like, what the hell? That's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, get ambushed. And the 100% sink here is to not take any damage. But I fucking, it took me like 6 fucking tries. It was pissing me off because then when I reloaded, one of them was almost always automatically attacking me. And so I just had to immediately counter. And sometimes it wouldn't give me enough time to even do it. So I'd have to eat a hit and just restart right off the bat. Pissing me off.
Yeah, I kind of lucked out. I don't know if I lucked out, but I did my first try. I didn't really have, and I like even remember, like, because I was like taking notes right before what happened. Like I paused it like right when they like jumped out at me, and one of the guys was already attacking me. I kind of saw him running at me like right when that like happened.
Right.
So like I was like, ah shit. I was like, I'm gonna instantly take damage like right off the bat, and I was like, I kind of want to do this. So I kind of locked in, like right off the bat, because like I have to like instantly counter this guy when he comes at me, and like I have to be fucking ready for it.
That's fair. And I mean, I eventually learned that you essentially just have to pay attention, because one of the another things I don't think we've talked about yet is I love that their health bar starts glowing white when they're getting ready to attack. Because it helps you, like, be like, oh, I need to attack that person next because they're about to attack me. And so it helps with that, like, little flow state you get going.
Deadass, didn't even know.
Well, just, you should, because it's like, yeah, it definitely helps a lot. If their health bar starts, like, flashing white, it means they're getting up, like, getting ready for an attack.
If you're doing that,
like, one-hit kill flow, you should prioritize those people so that they don't swing at you and you don't have to worry about missing a counter.
Damn. I think I've just always, like, just watched their body, like watch the animation just to see, like, what, like, that's just kind of always how I track it, I think. And I don't really see color. I don't really see color.
Sometimes they'll just do a weird shuffle.
Yeah, they do weird shuffles, but I don't... I don't pay attention to color, though, so that's probably why I didn't notice it. I'm colorblind, by the way, guys.
Sucks to suck.
Yeah. I don't pay attention to that shit because I'm wrong most of the time.
Color intolerant. Cancel him. But yeah, he gets ambushed by all these people, and like it's a fair bit of guys. It's like fucking 10 guys.
It's a lot of guys. I was kind of surprised. I was like, this is kind of a battle.
Yeah, especially like take no damage during it.
Yeah.
Off.
Yeah.
I was like, I gotta lock the fuck in here right now. What the hell? So take out all these people, and then you're like, where the fuck did they come from? Oh, look, this hidden entrance. I wonder what's in here.
Yeah, it was like a doggy door. It kind of cracked me up.
Right? like a wolf den.
Yeah.
And so inside, you find the followers of Romulus. There's this whole cavern, which, again, is very similar to the Assassin's Tombs in Assassin's Creed 2. There's a lot of parkour, platforming. The 100% sync this time was to complete it in under 8 minutes.
Yeah, I did not do that. And I was not about to replay that either, just to do it.
I did, because I almost made it. I was literally like 40 seconds over, and I was like, fuck this. I redid it, and this time I had 40 seconds to spare.
Wow.
Synchronicities.
Because I knew if I were to do it again, I would be able to do it in 8 minutes, because like you know the path. Like you know exactly where you got to go.
But then there's always bullshit with the physics. You just be jumping in random directions. That's what fucked me and had me stress the fuck out.
See, I don't really have that issue, I guess, too often.
Be nice. There was one time, the first time I did it, I literally, you know that one jump from like, describe this. So it's, I want to say 75% of the way through when you're on a wall on the outside and you have to jump to that like jutting out pillar that's right next to that chest you can get. Uh-huh. Yeah, that one. He missed it twice in a fucking row. And I'm like, how do you even do that? It was a fucking back eject. Why are you where the fuck are you going? You're pissing me off. And so then when I did it the second time, I had so much anxiety. I was like, for the Christ, you better fucking go to where you're supposed to. And he did, and I was so happy. But I was sweating.
Yeah, I don't know how you missed that. Because
I
like,
don't know either.
Because like I wonder if that's like a remaster thing. Because I have not, like, all my reverse jumps have worked perfectly fine. The only one that didn't work was actually, it was my fault. Like, I wasn't positioned right on the bar, so.
Right. Yeah, that shit was pissing me off. And so, yeah, it was a stressful mission for me. But it is a very cool and well-designed.
Well, I'm sure that timer doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was
stressed. Well, I meant, like, the sound of it, like, beeping at you.
I think, didn't it only beep when you had 10 seconds left?
I thought it beeped in the last minute. And then it did like, and then it did the brant at the last 10 seconds and beeped a lot faster. But maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I could have just not been paying attention because at that point I was tired. So, you know, maybe I just didn't notice. I don't know for sure. But, you know, he makes his way through this, you know, ruin. They're all gone. Like, he sees them a few times doing shit, but he never actually directly encounters any of the followers of Romulus. And, you know, finds this letter talking about this ancient armor that they're searching for or whatnot. This the yeah. Brutus armor, which is just one of the coolest armors in the whole
franchise. Yeah, it is pretty cool. I remember what it looks like now.
Yeah, it's dope as fuck. And so, what do you know? You got a new side quest to go after that's very similar to the last one. And like I said, but they're good and like they're well designed. They got some bullshit in them, but overall they're some fun.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really going to complain too much, but you get to loot a bunch of money and then you're off and Machiavelli's there, finally there. And he's like, yeah, those are the followers of Romulus. They're this weird fanatic cult, essentially, that we're pretty sure the Borgia are working with. And so you might as well go after them because fuck it. Why not? You're not doing anything else.
Yeah.
Just another thing to add to the list.
More shit.
And I'm happy to do it because I love this game.
Yes. I like it that it's like, I feel like it's well-incorporated shit. It's not just like, here's a bunch of shit to do. It's like, here's a bunch of shit to do that kind of like grows the unit, like grows our world.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, when they were writing the main story of this game, do I think they were, you know, incorporating the followers of Romulus? No. But they do a really good job of being like, hey, you know, we're trying to come up with some side content to give people something like optional to work towards, like a really cool like objective, whatever, what have you. What's the narrative, you know, drive behind this? And whoever was writing this part put their whole badussy into it. And I'm happy for them. I know it wasn't the person who wrote that dumbass Sean comment. But like props to the person who did this. Like,
yeah.
Keep them on here. I'm cool with it. But, so yeah, finally able to deliver the letter. They are thwarted once more because it's coded and they don't have a cipher, which I thought was going to lead us into
the Leonardo.
Yeah, exactly
what I thought. Exactly. Yeah. I was like,
he's
oh.
like, show me these allies you have.
Yeah. And I was then like, oh, Leonardo.
To, you know, yeah. Not go to Leonardo. Like, all right, come with me.
Yeah, we're going
to
go
gonna
to this
take
well.
More underground tunnels because there's so many fucking underground places in this fucking game, dude. There's the fucking tombs of the followers of Romulus. There's the auditory family crypt that's fucking like has the size of 17 football fields.
That place is so big. And I'm like looking at the like auditory estate. I'm like, can that really fit in there?
Yeah. And then there's fucking, yeah, all that shit. There's fucking, there's this underground network system for them to justify fast travel now.
Yeah.
And. Not to get far ahead of ourselves here, which is why I'm not going to get into too much detail for it, but I mean, it still pales in comparison to the shit they pulled in Revelations. I'm not going to mention it, but I think this is where the franchise just starts to really fucking get into underground shit. Everything's underground because, you know, I think it's because obviously they're reenacting the historical land.
I mean, this episode is literally called Roman Underground. Or not episode.
Sequence?
Not, well, not sequence either.
Mission?
Mission, yeah.
Oh,
this
gotcha. Like,
final mission is called Roman Underground.
Roman Underground, yeah. And I think there are like rumors slash like confirmed stuff of like, you know, Romans using like underground stuff. So like, don't get me wrong. There's definitely credence to a lot of this stuff. But I think, you know, they redid a bunch of the landscape in terms of like actual like well thought out like parkour design, like level design, stuff like that. Maybe they're just like, well, we should just
and they made
these crypts.
They made Rome huge too. Like they're literally like giving you horses in the city now because it's like,
oh yeah, I thought it was funny. I meant to bring that up. How much you use horses through the city early in the game as like, because you couldn't do that in two. So they're like, we're gonna make them do it five times in the first 2 hours of the game
because we want them
to make sure they know, hey, you can do this now.
Yeah, you can call your horse anytime you want.
I thought it was funny.
You have a mount.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, I don't know about you, but, like, I'm not calling that horse. I like to run around and get into mischief.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I don't care about the horse, but they're like, it's like the fucking Batmobile in Arkham Knight, damn near. They're just like, hey, look at these horses. You can use this horse anytime you want. Isn't that so cool? I'm like, I don't really care. But, yeah, all right, like, thanks, I guess.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to enjoy riding the horses. I mean, because there are times where, like, I definitely am going to want to take a horse to get across the city because I'm sure, like late game,
I'm trying to just, you know, get around. Yeah. I get it, but
like this early game, I'm just trying to discover stuff, you know, like
I don't need that shit. Thanks, I guess.
Yeah, it is nice because your horse kind of stays the same, so you can kind of pick your horse.
Yeah,
like so, like if you whatever horse you pick. Last, like whatever horse you rode last is going to be the horse that you call.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you hijack a horse, that's going to be your new horse.
What if you accidentally mount a horse?
Well, then that's your new horse.
That day, same day.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, there's like three horse colors, four horse colors. So like if you wanted to change it back to from like white to black or whatever, just.
But it's not the same one. It's not Richard.
It doesn't go that deep. You can't name him or anything, so like, just pretend.
You're telling me it's not Breath of the Wild mechanics? You don't just pet him to increase their speed? But, yeah, so like I said, they introduce these underground tunnels, which is not something that you ever get to see. It's just, again, a fast travel station that is, you know, thinly veiled by plot armor.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we can use these to get across quickly. Right, yeah, I avoid fast travel at all costs, pretty much. Unless I'm, like, really bored or desperate, and then, like, I'm, like, cleaning up, like, the collectibles. I'm sure, you know, once we get to sequence 8 and I'm doing all the cleanup, I'll be using them plenty, I'm sure. But for now, I'm just, like, not. But it forces you to use it because they go underground to get places quickly without raising the attention of the board. Makes sense. Honestly, it's a fairly, you know, a fairly good excuse for fast travel. But they do that, get back to this island thing where they meet with Fabio Orsolini, who is the cousin of a certain supporting character from the second Assassin's Creed game.
Probably like one of my favorite characters, too.
Someone who had a certain affinity for a certain sword named Bianca. It's Bartolomeo's cousin!
Bart!
Woo, woo, woo. And so,
two mentions
there.
This episode.
True. Yeah. Gotta love good old Bart. And so, you know, they meet with him, but agree that they need more intel before moving in on the Borgia because Machiavelli's like, all right, let's do this. And Ezio's like, bitch, you don't know shit right now. He's like, do you know where the apple is? Like, they stole the apple?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what they did with Katarina? What? This is like, you don't know shit, brother.
Like, you have no idea what's going on with our enemies, brother. You're like, what are you doing?
And then, again, the guy who's like, let's go march on their fucking doorstep is like, well, it's not my fault because the thieves ain't doing shit and the whores ain't doing shit and nobody's doing shit. And it's like, yeah, it sounds like it's pretty fucking busted over here. Let's fix it before we just fucking go about and get ourselves killed.
So some good old fashioned just charisma at these people and get them going.
Yeah. Let's build a brotherhood, yeah, if you will.
Go make some friends.
And that is where we end off for this sequence. Because Ezio sets off, yeah, to get some intel.
He literally says, I'm going to go make some friends, and then leaves.
And that's the end of sequence two. It's a long one.
Super long.
There's just a lot of different stuff being introduced, a lot of different concepts. We have a really long, you know, modern day sequence, little mini thing, interlude between the two. And so there's definitely a lot of stuff to go over here. It's a long episode. But
yeah, and we're, believe it or not, still kind of in the tutorial of this game.
Yeah, we're still learning new concepts. There's going to still be stuff to come, much like the second game did. And so, but yeah, I mean, I'm having so much fun with this game.
Oh, yeah. It's almost making me, like, the more I play this game, the more I'm like, man, this game might be better than 2. Maybe like gameplay wise, because like the story of 2 is so good,
right?
Like the story of 2 is so good, but like the gameplay just feels so much better in Brotherhood, in my opinion.
No, that's fair. Honestly, I don't blame you. Like I said, I mean, 2 sequences in, I'm kind of chilling. Though we are almost a quarter of the way through the game already.
Damn.
Because there's only 9 sequences.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It isn't that long.
Now, there's 14 in 2. There's 9 here. We have 5 less sequences. Longer than the first game. But it actually is the same length as the first game in terms of the actual story content. There's a lot more side stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
You can get more mileage out of Brotherhood than you can in the first game. But in terms of like the actual like story, it is actually the same length as the first game. Just a couple more sequences, kind of padding it out, spreading the time a little more evenly, which makes me think that we're going to have some really short sequences here, because like I said, this one was really long. And so I have a feeling we're going to run into some like 45 minute sequences.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because like this next sequence is probably going to be pretty long, I would imagine.
Yeah. I imagine it'll be standard. Yeah. If not, you know, yeah, more, because there's still some more stuff to introduce to.
But after that, I bet there's some smaller sequences for sure.
Which again, maybe, you know, maybe that'll kind of show the game's flaws a little bit, in the sense that you kind of start to feel like, oh, you know, this didn't need to be this long. They're kind of floundering around a little bit. Like, oh, these sequences are going by really fast. Like, these 3 sequences could have been 1, yeah, you know, but they're padding it out a bit. We'll see. I could be wrong. Like, but again, like I said, we both played this, but it's been so long.
So long.
That's, you know, remembering the details. I'm sure we'll figure it out along the way, but but I'm having so much fun. I hope you are too. I mean,
absolutely.
Like I said, we've gushed for an hour and a half about this sequence and all of the really cool things we're being introduced to, and we're going to continue to discover along the way. But yeah, it's, I mean, we're still in peak Assassin's Creed.
Oh yeah,
fucking fantastic. So excited. Ezio Auditore da Firenze is still in the prime of his life, still kicking ass, taking names.
Yeah, regardless of what that doctor said.
Regardless of what that doctor said, fuck that doctor. We're the goat.
Absolutely. You're the goat to, like, you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. And so, thank you guys for watching. Remember the trivia question for this week, which is...
Oh.
Remember, because I didn't.
It was what sport did...
Yes. What sport did Rebecca play before, yeah, she had an injury? And
which that was the part. I was having trouble remembering Rebecca's name. I was like, ah, shit. I knew what it was. I just couldn't remember the name. I was like,
And so, like I said, what sport did she play? Let us know down in the comments below. And we will see you guys next. Well, actually, hold on. Pause.
Not next week.
We will see you actually in 3 weeks, because I'm headed into prime week. So I have mandatory overtime at my day job, because we unfortunately don't make quite enough with this podcast to just quit our jobs and make this a whole full-time thing. You know, we're like right there. So, you know, just a little bit more support, you guys. And, you know, we'll just
totally,
you know, go in on it. Like I said, I mean, we we work jobs. We've got other stuff outside of this. It's part of why a lot of times we're really tired, because trying to find time to fit all this in gets a little difficult. But, you know, it's, yeah. Yeah. I got overtime for the next 2 weeks, and my overtime day just so happens to be the only free day that we have to record. And so, yeah, we're not going to be able to have Resync or our sister show Arkham Radio for that same reason.
Yeah, which we still have to record at 5 in the morning.
Yeah. Shit sucks. But we do it because we love this podcast, we love these games, and we love you guys. And so we'll be back in a few weeks. You know, take some time if you, you know, need to catch up a little bit. If you haven't checked out Arkham Radio yet, what you waiting for? Do it.
Yeah, it's Batman. I mean, it's what else do you need?
Batman.
Like, it's stealth beat 'em up.
Yeah. And so, you know, check that out. Do some other stuff. You know, get ready. Take some extra time playing through Sequence 3. And we will be back in a few weeks going over that and having another bonus plus episode, because then it'll be the end of the month. But stay safe out there. Hope you guys enjoyed. And remember, nothing is true.
Everything is permitted.
Arrivederci.